Hello, and welcome to the European Patients Podcast, representing the voice of patients in Europe. This podcast is brought to you by the European Patients Forum, the leading voice of patient organizations on the continent. I'm Flavia, I am the Senior Communications Manager for EPF, and your host on today's pod. We are back with our project mini-series, the Periscope Talks. If you don't recall, or you're tuning in for the first time, the Periscope project was launched in late 2020, and it investigates the broad socio-economic and behavioral impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic in order to make Europe more resilient and prepared for future large health risks. Today's episode will focus on the COVID-19 Atlas, a tool developed by the Periscope team to provide advanced visual analytics about several aspects of the COVID-19 pandemic, with a focus on its impact on health, economy, and society. How would you introduce the Atlas to the research community? And how about a lay audience?
The Atlas is the first line or the front line tool of the Periscope exposed to the research community. As such, it is currently exposed to the public. And we are not sure whether it will stay like that, but that is about as lay audience as can be. So practically to everybody, and including the researchers, journalists, or anybody who is interested in analyzing the data. But of course, in terms of targeting, it is targeted to a lay audience in terms of data science and data analytics proficiency. So it's not for, it will probably not be sufficient or not enough for somebody doing, who is a data researcher or scientist, doing deeper analysis of the data. But for that, we have, of course, specific dedicated tool, which is the Analytics Sandbox, and which is not public, but is provided upon registration and to registered users only, which provides, a common collaborative notebook as intuitive and known to the data scientists, where they can use and write their own queries or code or run algorithms, mostly in Python, although other languages are supported. So the Atlas is mainly visual, and it's mainly broad. So it is targeted mainly to policy researchers, or at least as we conceive it, or policy makers, or policy evaluators, and generally the research community in terms of policy research and evaluation. But of course, anybody else analyzing the effects of the pandemic is welcome to use it. And it has been, of course, developed and implemented with these implications in mind. So it is possible to do quite broad crossing of different data types, practically all the heterogeneous data that we have collected from various sources. It is possible to cross them and to see any visual correlations, and broad set of descriptive data, particularly from the policy measures, of course, semantically enriched in Work Package 4 and Task 4.2, is available for exploration. And a lot of work has gone into the optimization of these queries and these methods and services for fetching the data, of course, to accommodate quite broad queries and the broad scope and the number of concurrent users.
What kind of data was used to build the COVID-19 Atlas?
There are two general broad classes of data, policy data and the so-called metrics data. Policy data comprise any data about the policies, various policies introduced by countries, national and regional governments, even local to the quite down to the very detailed local level, during the course of the pandemic. These data, of course, are thematically mostly related to health, but also to, not only to public health, but also to mental health. That is a specific exploration topic of the Periscope project, but also to socioeconomic measures, to measures like lockdown, closures of business, border restrictions, travel restrictions, closures of schools, and interventions in the educational scientific scope. So pretty much all we could collect through, of course, leveraging the extensive efforts of the several previous and ongoing parallel projects, mainly the Oxford Policy Tracking Project and the CoronaNet project, which is an even bigger global effort, still ongoing, by the way, and has collected the most comprehensive and detailed set of data on policies, with detailed descriptions, with the detailed scope, and so on. Which is additionally augmented in the Atlas by adding the ontology and the semantic context. So this is another very important feature that that the users have at their disposal, aside from the visual analytics. Then the metrics data. The metrics data are more strictly divisioned according to the thematic scopes. So we have socioeconomic data that are coming from sources like OECD, like Eurostat. Then we have the health data that are, of course, starting from hospitalizations, deaths, and so on, coming from sources like ECDC, European Center for Disease Control, and the vaccinations data as well. And all down to some quite regional and local data exercises that have been performed in the second year of the project, like the data submitted in the Lombardy region and collected through the efforts of the coordinator from Pavia and from San Matteo Hospital. Then the data from France, also from the regional partners that were supplying hospital data. These are the general classes of data. And of course, thematically, they mostly come down to public health data and other health data, epidemiological and mental health data. And of course, the socioeconomic metrics to assess the effects and the policy data. GDP, like employment rates, even detailed data like passenger car registrations. This is all available through the consolidated European sources. And this is, of course, one of the reasons why the Periscope and the Atlas is the most comprehensive exercise in heterogeneous data collection and consolidations affecting the pandemic by now. Of course, this data is now available practically post hoc for explorations, but this is supposed to be the lessons and means for preparation for future pandemics and events, emergency events like this. And then eventually, when some correlation or possible interdependency or causality within the explored data set is spotted visually in the Atlas, then there are possibilities for further and deeper analysis. One is, of course, exporting the data. So you can practically, the user can export the selected data set through the Atlas for further analytics with the proper, of course, most of the data already coming on, de-identified and anonymized. And the second is, as mentioned, going further with this selected subset of data through the analytics sandbox and doing some custom analytics that would employ specific models or specific algorithms to practically further confirm or test the hypothesis resulting from the visual analytics of some correlation or causality of data.
What role can the Atlas play in making Europe more resilient to future health threats?
It's a kind of continuing the previous answer. any spotted correlation or causality or effect of a specific policy that could be confirmed resulting with the change of some specific economic metric, quantified change, of course. So, we are already learning some lessons through the numerous works and papers that have been published by the project during this second year, and also some policy guidance workshops like the one recently held in Brussels, and presenting some findings. So, for instance, answering a lot of research questions that were mostly explored empirically or through some descriptive data, practically having now the quantitative confirmations or disapproval of the specific hypothesis. So, for instance, what were the real effects of, let's say, Swedish relatively loose policy in terms of strictness of the measures on the overall effects in mortality, disease spread, mental health, economic stagnation? Did the policy measures introduced by various countries across Europe and the globe, did they, for instance, encourage the rise of authoritarian policies that suggestible to believe, judging what is happening in the recent years? So quite relevant and mostly quite obvious research questions that need to be immediately answered in terms of knowing the specific effects and what policies work and which policies don't. And also another aspect that will need even more effort in terms of data collection are the gaps, of course, whether specific effects can be attributed to the lack of policies in specific area or not introducing any measures or leaving the things as is. For instance, an interesting candidate that was spotted in this area were the area of public procurement, where most of the countries didn't introduce any additional measures or any policies. So, practically, from the data set on policy measures collected in the Atlas, there are no starting points for this for the exploration in this field. But it was, of course, through the observation and through the societal vigilance, many abuses have been spotted in this field. Abuses of the existing legislation, using emergency procedures for public procurement for purposes that are not that have turned out not to be critical or not related to the pandemic. So, these types of gaps are a little bit a significant bit harder to explore, but it is possible using the data at least from one side of the Atlas, let's say from the metrics side, and then exploring the gaps. The definitive role that the Atlas will play during its exploitation beyond the project is yet to be determined. There are some options like maybe having been incorporated into the tool set of the Joint European Commission Research Center, the need for additional extended and more thorough data collection. But anyway, the main role that it looks like it is going to play is going to be as one of the key data exploration and predictive tools for assessment of policy effects and both the future upcoming emergency events and pandemics, learning from the qualitative and thorough analysis of the data from the past, all collected and consolidated in one place.
You've touched upon this right now about future uses of the Atlas. But in your opinion, maybe in terms of local and regional use, how do you envision the future of the Atlas?
Yes, this is the mentioned usages are pretty much as planned from the outset, which is now almost 2 years ago when the Atlas was devised and planned. The local and regional use will depend a lot and mostly on the mentioned more thorough incorporation and collection of data. So the infrastructure is there. The data model underlying the Atlas and the ontology is quite extensive, and it is possible to accommodate, at least we hope so, many different and even more heterogeneous data sources. So the exercises with the really regional data that were mostly collected from CoronaNet for countries like Germany and Italy, and this is really, really extensive on the level of regions within these two countries as the most as the most representative example. They have proven that Atlas is able to accommodate this data, and we have also exposed some API infrastructure for interoperability and connecting other and additional data sources, or even doing just, let's say, periodic or batch data submissions to the Atlas. But this will be a much, much bigger and huge effort comparing to what is done by now. So the data that were collected by all of these public health and policy data collection projects like Oxford, CoronaNet and others, they have, of course, still the main volume and scope of this data have been on the national levels using aggregated indicators and generally not so detailed data. So for regional and local use, it will become more precise and more useful as more local and regional data are collected. And of course, the second main projected usage is top-down. So using the correlations spotted and verified through the Atlas and the predictive features, the idea would be to top-down translate these lessons and these findings into local policies, and being able to compare with the similar regions or local communities what worked and where and how and in what context in the past and what did not. And this is, of course, again, mostly as planned from the outset. But the things are, of course, dynamically changing, particularly in this area of data science. So we are seeing some other uses that that are a bit far-fetched and that could emerge very likely in the following years. For instance, you all know about ChatGPT and these types of chat artificial intelligence that have been becoming vastly popular during this year. ChatGPT has exposed some APIs, so there are interoperability, standardized interoperability and connection possibilities. So maybe we will see even sooner than expected by this year or next year, maybe we will be able to have an interface between the Atlas and the ChatGPT conversational intelligence, trying to find out some context or research or answer questions based on the data fed from the Atlas. Or maybe even the Atlas, the queries for context and for the specific meaning and the semantics would not extend only to the ontologies and semantics currently implemented in the Atlas, but may go beyond using these global tools that are emerging. So these are some really, really exciting uses of the Atlas and perspectives for the future that are emerging. And we are quite eager to see which way this will all develop. And In the meantime, of course, the Atlas is also going to serve, as it looks looks likely now, as a background for further decision support and policy guidance and evaluation or even simulation tools that are yet to be developed. And this is again something that will hopefully be in the focus on the next efforts and sort of logical continuation of the workflow and the role that the Atlas has by now fulfilled as this most comprehensive data.
Thank you once again to Vladimir for joining us today. We'll continue to update you with this series about the Periscope project, which will develop solutions and guidance for policymakers and health authorities to make Europe more resilient and prepared for future large-scale risks. For now, let's remain vigilant and use the lessons and models from the Periscope project to prepare for the future. We kindly remind you to check out their website www.periscopeproject.eu for all relevant news and information, or follow the project on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. That's it for this episode of the Periscope Talks. We are the European Patients Forum, the leading voice of patient organizations in Europe, with nearly 80 members across the continent. We'll see you next time on the pod. Be well.